It's us again. We're back.
Yeah, we're talking about a damn anthology movie that we saw. It's a pretty good one.
Can I tell you right now, I loved this movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Yeah.
It just made me with delight.
They obviously saw Creepshow, and they wanted it to be as great as that. And yeah, it was. It was good. The wraparound story was good and everything. The wraparound story had the dude that played the Krugan from Highlander. I forgot
Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
Well, he's been in tons of stuff.
Of course you are.
He's done like a lot of voice work, and he's also in Starship Troopers. He was in fucking. I remember him as being the monster in The Bride. Do you remember that Frankenstein adaptation with fucking Sting and Jennifer Beals in it?
I didn't see that one.
Which is kind of a guilty pleasure. Well, it would be a guilty pleasure for me if I was guilty of anything.
I mean, it's
a terrible movie, but I kind of love it. But yeah, he's in like tons and tons of other stuff,
too.
Yeah,
he's an old man now, and they make him look even older in this. And he just fucking, he nails it. He's kind of like the Crypt Keeper in a certain way, but you know, he doesn't need a whole lot of makeup, just his fucking hair.
He's kind of like the tall man, too.
Yeah, like the tall man. Yeah, he reminds me of Angus Scrimm.
Yeah.
But an Angus Scrimm that can fucking deliver lines and act. Although, you know, Angus Scrimm could act a little
bit. Yeah, I was going to say, why are you casting aspersions on Angus Scrimm?
Yeah, it's just that, you know, this dude here is a much better actor. He's got a lot.
Yeah, and like I said, he also, he was in Shawshank Redemption, too.
Yeah.
Oh, and he does Mr. Krabs' voice on SpongeBob SquarePants, and has done for a very long time.
Yeah.
And he's been, I think he did some of the fucking, I don't remember, he does like a lot of voiceover work, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in case we didn't mention it, this is called The Mortuary Collection, and it's an anthology film. It premiered
for Halloween.
It's premiered in 2019, like at Fantastic Fest, like about a year ago. It premiered and got pretty like very positive reviews like across the board. And it seems like even like, you know, Google, IMDb and stuff like that, it's always like way up in the 80-90 percentage range.
It's got 5 skulls on Shudder.
It does. And I can see why, because this movie, you know, the thing about a lot of anthology movies, and we've talked about them before, it's just kind of like, because a lot of times they'll do like each story will be like directed by somebody else. So, you know, it'll be like a little uneven. Now, this one is a little bit different in the sense that the whole thing was directed by one guy, Ryan Spindel. Now, as far as I know, this might be his first feature-length film. Now, he did do a short film called The Babysitter Murders, which actually he did remake for this. Like, he kind of incorporated into this anthology story. But as far as I know, that's the only... But I have to say, wow, good fucking job, dude.
Yeah, it's a fucking excellent horror
movie. This movie was a blast. It's like, it's just... and you can tell, I think there was a snippet of an interview with Ryan Spindel, and he said, basically, this movie was my love letter to EC Comics. Like I said, that's why you get the Creepshow thing. And Steven Spielberg and, like, you know, movies from the 80s and, like, all the old horror anthologies, like, from the 70s and 80s, which he always really loved. So he wanted to make something like that, like an homage to that. And I think he succeeded in that in spades. Yep. Also has a little bit, like, visually, a little bit of a Tim Burton-y thing, but not so Tim Burton-y, you know what I mean?
No, the color palette's really good on it.
This is a gorgeous, gorgeous-looking movie.
Shot composition and all that looks good. The wraparound story kind of looks kind of like a movie version of the damn Halloween, like the haunted house out of damn Disney World.
Yeah.
It has a fucking creepy fucking vibe. It's got a good score. The storytelling straightforward and, you know, fucking good. Each little story's real good. I liked it. Actually, I think they kind of got better as they went, he's trying to build up.
One thing that I liked that they did with this is that, like, the wraparound story, which also ties in with the last story, is set in the 1980s. But the stories that go on, like the first story set in the 50s, the second one set in the 60s, the third one set in the 70s, and then like The Babysitter Murders, which ties in with the wraparound, is 1980s. So it's almost kind of like 4 decades. And so you get like a really cool, I mean, the production design and everything like that is like really cool. Like the way they did, like they went from decade to decade, but then it still has like an overarching look to it. I mean, just the whole thing was just, it had that beautiful like greenish like tinge with just like pops of like red and like firelight and stuff like that.
Green.
And it's just, I love that fucking look.
Yeah. And he was also kind of homaging Italian giallo lighting styles in certain parts of the story and up inside that house. It's just a good story, you know, fucking second story. It had some damn jocks trying to get laid. in college in the I guess it was 50s or 60s.
That one was 60s.
Early 60s. It's just funny how they're using Karl Marx to fucking empower women and hand out fucking birth control like fucking rubbers so they could get laid, you know, like, yeah, you empower yourself, babe, you know, fucking jump up on a bobo, you know, it's fucking hilarious. And fucking, I can't spoil any of the.
Yeah,
of the
I mean, stuff. I'll just give like a rundown. I'm not gonna. This is like on Shudder. They just added it. Yeah. You know, and like I said, Shudder has been really knocking it out of the park with the shit they've been like curating and like adding on there recently.
Yeah.
This one was like the first. This one really like put me in the mood, like the Halloween type of mood.
Oh, I forgot. If you guys have Shudder, I forgot to mention this before I forget. They put The Evil up there, which is one of my favorite fucking horror movies.
Yeah, we reviewed it a while back,
Yeah, fucking my babysitter Kimmy took me to that. I saw that in the matinee with Kimmy. Fucking Princess Leia. I saw that with Princess Leia. But fucking that there was something about that movie, and it's got three or four different titles, but the version I saw in California was called The Evil.
And that's generally what it's known
as. Yeah, and it's a lot better than the Amityville Horror. It's a lot better than the Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
I liked it, but go ahead and check that one out too.
They just added that one recently.
Just giving a shout out to that one.
But yeah, so the interesting thing about this too is that thematically, or I guess like the wraparound story is a similar setup to John Carpenter's Body Bags from 1993.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not exactly the same, but
it's better than Body Bags though.
Yeah, I think it is. Well, because like I said, Body Bags had different directors for each one, and so some of them were better. This one was like the same director, so it had more of a cohesive vision, even though it was like the stories were different.
Body Bags has a good throwback appeal though, you know what I mean? That is a classic.
Yeah,
you
know, we reviewed that one too a while ago.
Yeah, and you know, Deborah Harry and stuff, all-star cast. But this one, I think, just like you said, the cohesiveness of it, the tonally and just visually, this is just a better looking movie.
And this is a great looking movie. And like I said, it just puts you, it's not even necessarily set at Halloween, but it just puts you in that spirit. It's very autumnal.
Yeah, this is something you should be seeing at Halloween right alongside Trick or Treat and maybe like fucking Season of the Witch or Halloween 3.
I saw another reviewer say that they were, because he said, well, I watch Trick or Treat, you know, every Halloween night before going to bed. He's like, I think I'm going to add this one as like a double feature.
Definitely a Halloween movie.
It is, even though it's not like overtly like, oh, it's set on Halloween, but it has like a very Halloween tone.
That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, and it's a very autumnal tone to it.
I was under the impression that this was supposed to be watched at Halloween.
Yeah.
That's just from the tone.
Yeah, I mean, like the look of it and just like the whole thing that it's, you know, the whole, just like you said, it's Tim Burton-y, but it's almost like you said, like the Haunted Mansion, like at Disneyland. It kind
Tim
of has
Burton
that aesthetic.
Can get a little sickly sweet for me. And visually, it kind of looks Tim Burton-y, but it does not have that Tim Burton-y tone.
Yeah.
Tim Burton can kind of get on my nerves sometimes, even though he does have some fucking excellent movies. Mars Attacks, fucking The
Batman. I need to see Mars Attacks again. You know, I haven't seen that in so long. I love that
movie. So, you know, there is some stuff I think he really knocks it out of the park. Nightmare Before Christmas is also...
Well, that's a classic.
That he did a good job on. It's just that some of his stuff doesn't quite do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets too Tim Burton-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what we have here, the setup of this and the frame story, which like I said, ties in with like the last story. You got Clancy Brown playing a mortician named Montgomery Dark. And he runs this mortuary in a town called Raven's End. And I love just the setup of this. Like I said, it's very green and aqua and it's like really cool looking. And there's like a little kid riding a bike and it's like this creepy, like there's leaves blowing everywhere. So this young woman named Sam comes into the mortuary ostensibly to apply for a job because it was like a help wanted sign. So then they start, she wants Montgomery Dark, who she calls Monty, just to be an asshole. She wants him to like tell her some stories of like the people that died. So like I said, in that sense, that's why it's by Body Bags. Why it reminded me of Body Bags a little bit was because that was set in a morgue and he was telling the story of each body.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit like that, where it's just kind of like we're talking
conceptually
about...
Conceptually
similar. There
Execution
you go.
Execution and tone, very different.
Very, very different, yeah. So then we go into the first story, which is set in the 50s and is actually like the shortest one. This is basically just about a woman who's at a party. She sneaks into a bathroom. She's a pickpocket and something terrible happens to her at the end. And I want to say, too, that this is very much like Creepshow, EC Comics type of thing, in the sense that it's very much like shitty person gets their comeuppance type of stories. They're like morality tales.
Yeah, you pay for what you do.
Right, just essentially like Creepshow is.
Yeah.
So that's, like I said, that's the shortest one. Actually kind of more of a vignette, but like I said, it's really like...
Yeah.
The way they do each decade is like really, really cool. So then the second one...
Yeah,
which...
now hold on. The wraparound story is kind of important to all this. Like, in this girl is trying to apply for a job at the mortuary.
Yeah, I said that.
Okay, yeah. And he's telling a story every time, and she doesn't react to it. She thinks the shit's lame. So
she's,
tells
like,
her,
not impressed.
So she tells her another one. And he keeps upping the ante. And so the wraparound, really the wraparound story is awesome. I really like the wraparound
story. It is. I do as well.
And every time he tells a story, and she goes, oh, come on. And then he's like, like the story.
I love Clancy
good.
Brown so much. He's so good at this.
And then he starts coming at her in a different way and tells her another story. But second story, I really liked it.
The frat guys.
Yeah, when this story came, the first one was real short. I was like, okay, but it wasn't really all that special. She reacted the same way though. She's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, so it has like a little bit of a meta tone to it because she's kind of coming at it like.
Right. So then the second one. Second story came and it was a lot more interesting. All right. And it also got a lot gorier and stuff. You know,
ooh,
I mean?
They
and,
went there yeah, and on then, this one. I was impressed.
And then I was like, all right. And I was like, I'm down. Okay.
I laughed so hard at that.
Yeah. So by the time the second one is starting, when these dudes are trying to scam their way up these girls' fucking skirts back in the 60s using Karl Marx and women's rights and empowerment to jump on a motherfucker's dick. That's when I started to pay attention. I'm like, yeah, okay, now what happened? Because, see, I knew old hippie dudes, you know, as fucking who ended up being old auto mechanics, and they would tell hippie stories, and that's basically what it was, you know. Hey, man, let's go to the anti-war protest and go, you know, get some chicks, you know.
Yeah.
It was everything was just kind of a scam, you know what I mean? Yeah. Those dudes were just in it for the girls. But anyway, they came at me with that angle, and I was like, yeah, that's right. There's truth to this. So then, it's okay. They get their issue. That's a good story.
I really, really like that story. That one probably made me laugh the hardest, just because.
Yeah, well, she's so cruel. These dudes get fucked up.
And I was just like, ah!
The punishment didn't really fit the crime.
Oh,
but,
I don't know.
But...
I didn't feel bad.
But that's how it would be. You know, that's how women are.
I cackled.
That's how women are. That's a good one, though.
Yeah, I know.
I liked that.
We're the worst. I did, too.
The worst.
And like I said, I mean, even though you could kind of guess where it was going, like we guessed where it was going.
Yeah, but it had to go that way.
But I was like curious because I'm like, are they really going to show like what they're suggesting that they're going to show? And they did.
And then as the stories get told, sometimes characters from the earlier stories show up. So now you have a background.
Yeah, like Dr. Kubler, who shows up in this one, he actually shows up in the next story as well.
So a lot of the shit that happens in the early stories ends up impacting the later stories. You're like, oh, that's where those things came from.
Yeah, so so it kind of all ties together.
Yeah, they all kind of tie together.
Kind of like Creepshow with the marble ashtray, you know what I mean? Yeah. It turned up in like every show, like in different iterations or different segments.
It's every bit as good as Creepshow 1. It's a different movie, but I'm going to put it at that level.
I love anthology movies, but like I said, it's usually like you see them and they're just like, oh, this story was really good, but the other ones were just kind of meh. But this one was just like, just really good the whole way through. And like I said, I think it was because it was one director and so it was very cohesive.
Yeah.
So everything kind of like tied together.
The movie fulfilled a vision.
Yeah. And it, you know, it had like a similar, even though it went through different decades, like it had a similar like look to it. So then the third story, which is set in the 70s, there's this guy named Wendell, and he's married to his wife, Carol, and she has some kind of, do they even like specifically say like what's the matter with her? Or she has like some kind of disease or something, and she's like comatose, or she's like wasting away. And there comes a point where the doctor, who's the same doctor from the last segment, basically comes and says, like, you know, look, she's like comatose. She can't, and he has to take care of her. It's like, but she's stabilized. We don't know, you know, she might live like many, many more years. You know, maybe you should think about accidentally on purpose, like giving her an overdose, but it's just staying, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's, you know, because this poor guy, it's like he has to take care of this woman. She can't talk. She can't do anything for herself. And it's like, you know, he doesn't know how much longer she's going to live. And so he's like kind of bummed out about it. And so basically, he tries to do that, but it doesn't quite go the way he expects, and like kind of terrible shit happens. I will say this one is also, it's a slower burn, but this one is kind of more like emotionally affecting, I guess, because you can like think about it's, even though it's still, you know, it's not a bummer. It's not, but it's like has a little bit of sadness tinge to it.
I didn't like this one as much as the second one, but it's still a good one.
Yeah. I mean, well, the second one was much more comedic.
Yeah. It was
this one was like less comedic, but it was still really gory, still really fucked up.
Yeah.
And I really, really liked the puppetry. I guess that was a puppet that they did at the end, right? Like with the corpse, like the way he was seen. Like that looked really, really cool. I really, really liked the way they did that.
Let me respond to some people.
Okay.
Khan says we need a Silver Shamrock movie. Yeah, I'd love to see a remake of Halloween 3. Just Silver Shamrock. Kind of higher end budget with a bunch of, you know, Carpenter homages and stuff. That'd be awesome. Let's see what else is going on. Yeah, Alex says, yeah, Tom, after a certain point, you want to tell Tim Burton, okay, we get it. Yeah.
I liked a lot of his movies, but, I mean, once he started going, like, I didn't love Alice in Wonderland. You know, parts of it were all right, but I just, there was something about it didn't really resonate. I really, really did not like his fucking Willy Wonka remake. That just made me want to, like, throw something at the wall.
Khan is also saying that he liked Christina Ricci. I liked Christina Ricci back
I did as well.
I liked Christina Ricci back in the day before she got her boobs lopped off. She was more appealing as a fucking short, curvy chick, but for some reason, she thought, I don't get it. She wanted to be...
Maybe she had breast cancer.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you know.
She was a kid. She's maybe 25.
Yeah, but 25-year-olds get breast cancer, maybe. Too.
I think they would have mentioned something like that. And then she lost a whole bunch of weight. She's trying to be skinny, you know what I mean? She was a curvy little chick.
She was.
And I thought she looked better like that. But
yeah.
Whatever. Women and cocaine. Okay,
Or just women and not eating.
Yeah, women and not eating. Well, she's probably up in Hollywood, and they probably had dudes tell her that she was fat.
That's what I suspect probably happened.
What the fuck?
It's like, you need to, like, lose 20 pounds for this role.
What kind are you talking about?
Yeah.
She was maybe 5 feet tall, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's a little bitty girl.
And she had a fucking banging little fucking figure, you know what I mean? And then I saw her the next time, and she looked like a boy or something. You know? Come on. You know?
Okay, so after that segment, we get, I just got a thing that my package got delivered, there's a package out front, so I'll have to go get that, but I don't know what it is, I've ordered so many things, it's like, it could be lots of things. Okay, so after that, there's like a little bit, we return to the frame story, and it turns out that the last segment, segment 4, which is called The Babysitter Murders, actually ties into the character of Sam, who has come there ostensibly to look for a job at this mortuary. And so that kind of goes in that direction. Now, like I said, I think from what I read, Ryan Spindel, the guy that directed this, his short film, The Babysitter Murders, I'm not sure how similar it is to this, but he like incorporated this into the anthology film. So this is about Sam. It's set up. Now, like I said, I don't want to, because this one is like a twist. They all kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say they all have a twist, because some of them, like I said, the second one kind of goes the way you expect it to, but it's like really satisfying nonetheless.
It's for you, whatever it is.
Well, yeah, I know, that's what I just got an email. Why would I be getting an email if it was for you? You know, duh. But yeah,
listen to her fucking with me. She's fucking with me live on camera, fucking with me. All right, go ahead, bitches.
I know. But yeah, so this one is set up like a standard, you know, babysitter is babysitting a little kid named Logan, and there's an escaped mental patient and stuff like that. But it does have a twist to it that I will not spoil. Maybe you can see it coming. I don't know. I didn't really see it coming. But also really, really good gore in this one. There is one scene where... I'll say somebody's face gets smashed with a TV and it looks really gross and really, really good. So I will say that like the special effects in this are great. The acting is great. Like the stories are great. It looks amazing. You know, all the beautiful like colors and everything like that. It's just so reminiscent of like fall and Halloween, and it just looks like the Haunted Mansion. It's just like so, so fucking cool.
Logan's trying to send a super chat, but he can't figure out how to do it.
I don't know how to do it from this.
Yeah, we don't know how to do it either.
But apparently I'm an idiot. You're not an idiot. I don't actually know how to do that either. On my end, on my live chat, there's just like a little, box at the bottom that has a, like a little dollar sign in it, yeah. which I assume that's what you push, yeah. but I'm like scared to push it because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
No, Con, I haven't seen Black Snake Moan. I heard that's a good movie. I got to see it.
Yeah, I think I might have seen it maybe, or I've seen parts of it.
They're saying Christina still looked hot back then. She had all the curves still. I think it's what one dude said.
Yeah. Maybe. Wasn't Samuel L. Jackson in that?
I thought she had kind of gotten skinny by that point.
Maybe not. When did that come out? 97? Ooh, I can't remember.
Her whole
remember
fucking
now.
Thing was to be short with fucking boobs and
boobalicious.
Fucking nice fucking thighs on her, man. You know, it's got its own appeal.
You know how Tom is with the boobs and the boobs and the thighs.
I like thick, man. I like fine. I like thick.
Thick with two C's. Well, I'm yeah. It's, well, I guess
thick with two C's. I like the same white girls that black guys like.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So. So yeah, they do the thing with the babysitter murders. Another thing that I like about this too, I'm just going to say, I'm not going to like say like which story is which thing, but it's like this has, like I said, people's faces get smushed by TVs, people's dicks explode, children get murdered. It's fantastic. And I was just like, I had such a good time watching this. Like I'd had a drink or two at that point, but I still remember it really good. It's not like I forgot it the next day. But I just had like a fucking blast watching this. We just had such a great time watching this movie. It's just
You definitely got to see this one.
It's so
you
fun got,
for Halloween. What I would recommend is you always want to go for fucking Creepshow. All right, you want to go for Trick or Treat, right? And this one would be good.
Oh yeah, add this one to the rotation.
Yeah,
for
add
sure.
This one. Fucking Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. You want to put that one on there? And I'd probably watch The Evil. I liked The Evil. I think that'd make a good Halloween movie.
Yeah, even though it's not like specifically Halloween thing.
No,
but
that's a good Halloween movie.
You know what I've decided to do? Not this week because this isn't Halloween week, but next week, that's Halloween week, I'm going to do like every day that we do a live matinee, I'm going to do like a newer Halloween themed movie.
Okay.
And I found a bunch. I found like four
and
that
for
we
Christmas,
could watch.
For Christmas, man, you got to watch fucking Christmas Chronicles.
Christmas
and it's supposed
Chronicles.
To be Christmas Chronicles 2. Krussel Part 2 is going to come out on Netflix.
I need to look that up and
Krussel
see if it's going to
come out.
Krussel Part 2. Krussel Part 2.
Yeah, fucking right.
The Krusseling.
Krussel 2, the Krusseling.
Please, somebody needs to
brought to you by Canon Films.
I want to see that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
Think you've had enough Krussel? You haven't Krusseled the fuck out of shit until you've Krussel to the Krusseling. Krussel together with us. We Krussel alone together.
I can imagine the fucking poster for that.
Yeah, everything just says Krussel. And it's got like 10 people in the fucking poster, but each one of them's got Krussel's face on it. Every character's played by Krussel.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like being John Malkovich, but like a but like an action movie version.
Yeah.
Like
Krussel even plays the children.
And the dog.
And the dog, yeah.
Oh my God. Krussel the motion picture.
Krussel.
Oh my God. All right. So definitely if you have Shudder, or you can probably get this maybe you can get it other places on VOD too, but it's definitely on Shudder. They just added it, called the Mortuary Collection. I liked this so much that I hope they do another one. Actually, I would like to see Ryan Spindell do another one. And like I said, if you like Creepshow, if you liked Body Bags, if you liked any of those really kind of like Halloween-y kind of like anthologies from this, and it has like a Steven Spielberg-y like 80s kind of vibe to it too.
It has a high-end 80s feel but with modern technology. It's just a good fucking movie.
Just a good movie. A fucking blast to watch, like from start to finish. It's not boring. I think it's like super gory, it's super dark, and it just like looks fantastic. It's just a really fun movie.
Sandra said she liked Christmas Chronicles, watched it because we recommended it. I'm telling you, I heard that Christmas Chronicles 2 is coming out
I heard that as well, but like I said, I don't know if the production got pushed back, but it's like, I thought they were already working on it, like, last year, so.
Christmas Chronicles 2 on Netflix. I gotta look back into it.
Krussel versus the Yokai.
Yeah. Yeah, Yokai Wars and Yokai Monsters, those are good movies. I don't know, they don't really have a Christmassy feel, or they don't have a Halloween feel.
Oh, thank you so much, Logan. Oh my goodness.
Oh, thanks, Logan, bro. That'll fucking help us pay for them damn keys.
Yeah, right?
$200 worth of car keys yesterday.
Yeah,
$100 a key.
Don't lose your car keys, kids. Don't lose the car key. For newer cars.
Yeah.
And my car's a 2004.
Yeah.
And we didn't lose the key. It just broke. And the chip fell out.
Couldn't find a damn
computer. We said about
chip.
It last night.
And I had been fixing that key.
We've just been gluing it back together.
It didn't work.
And then, it did for a while, but then.
And then Connor Vatslan, who's in the chat right now, he said he had to pay that same price, about $100 a key in Mexico. And he said in the Mexican economy, that's like paid $1,000 for the key. He said, He said a nerd shows up in a damn van, bends you over a barrel, tells you he's going to use lube, no lube included. And I said, dude, that's the same shit that happened over here, man.
Yeah. But I figured because even when I went to Ace Hardware and asked them, I was like, can you, do this key? They're like, yeah, but it has a chip. And then we had to like program it, blah, blah, blah. They told me 75, but I think it was only 75 to copy the key. Because even the guy that came in the van yesterday, he said it was 75 to copy the key, but then it's 55 to program it.
Yeah.
And actually, I got it cheaper because I had the actual key and he could like just copy it instead of having to pull the code to like make the machine make it.
Yeah. And every time he had to do something on his laptop, he's going to charge you more money.
Yeah.
For that. Isn't that some shit? That's some shit.
But you know what, though? It's like, yeah.
That's a good gig, just ride around fucking fixing people.
I was thinking that, too. I'm like, maybe I should get into that. I'll be a mobile locksmithy person.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could make a lot of money.
Copying the keys, nothing. I did it back in high school.
Yeah, it only took a few minutes.
At the high school, local store.
Well, now they have, like, that really cool, and the machine is only, like, this big.
Yeah.
Just fits in the back of the van, and then he's got, like, he had, like, all these little drawers, like, full of all the different keys, like, key blanks from, like, different years and different manufacturers and stuff. But everything fits, like, in the back of a little van.
It's amazing how robots and laptops that can fit into a fucking into a suitcase, a small suitcase.
Yeah.
I don't know if some of you guys know what an AR-15 is. That AR-15 lower receiver, you can put a block of fucking aluminum in something that you can carry around and plug into the wall the size of a briefcase, and it'll make that lower receiver.
Yeah.
In about 20 minutes. It'll just sit there and cut it on its own. Recirculating the lubricant and everything.
Yeah.
I was fucking amazed. When I was a kid, the tool that did that weighed about 3,000 or 4,000 pounds and had a fucking, you know, like a NASA computer next to it. A computerized lathe. And that shit fucking, I was fucking astounded. That dude made basically the legal part that makes an AR-15 in about an hour, and the robot just did it on its own.
Yeah.
In a fucking suitcase.
Yep.
Yeah, fucking.
I mean, I knew it was going to be expensive, like I said. Now, it's funny because back in the old days, like before when I had my old car, before they had chips and all the keys and everything, like for anti-theft and whatnot, you could go to like Walmart and get a key cut for like $3 or something, because I think I had to, like, I got extra key cuts. It was like $3.50. That was like years and years ago.
For that super chat, Logan wanted to, he wanted a logo and a Pliskin shirt, both in medium. Yeah.
And a Pliskin shirt? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good because I think I might already have those two sizes in blanks.
And we just printed some today.
A medium.
Yeah.
Pliskin.
Send Jenny a private message.
And medium.
Let me get your address and we'll send it out.
Yeah, we're actually printing shirts today.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to the mail.
We're going to
go to the mail tomorrow. So this is
you get them in a couple days.
Logan. Okay. That's
gonna come up with some new shirt designs in the next week or so.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to come up with some new shirt.
And we're gonna try to kick up some more interest in shirts. I got some cool shit coming, some paramilitary stuff coming. You guys are gonna like it.
Yeah, you know, we've got lots of, like I said, I want to get like a photo of your face.
Some crazy shit.
Like, so I can put that on a shirt so you can say, I say whatever comes out of my mouth.
Say whatever comes out of my mouth. Man, I fucking get a few drinks in me and I fucking say this crazy shit. Only people in the fucking comment section notice it. To me, it just comes out, you know? I say whatever comes out of my mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's the poltergeist saying it. I'm not even really aware of it. That's fucking hilarious.
But yeah. I feel bad because it seems like a couple people just showed up, but it's like we've already been on for like half an hour.
I know.
But yeah, seriously, if you have Shudder, if you don't have Shudder, I don't know why you don't, because get it. It's awesome. And it's cheap. But if you do have Shudder, then immediately go, or wait till Halloween, because it does, like I said, it does seem like a really Halloween-y type of movie. Go watch The Mortuary Collection. It's really, really good, and it's fun. And I promise, well, I can't promise that you'll love it because I know there's going to be somebody out there who's like, I didn't love it. You lied. But I thought it was awesome. I had a good time with it. Like I said, Shudder's been adding some like really good shit lately, like old shit and new shit. So they've been like really good. They usually like add all their best shit.
For what do we pay for that? Like $5 a month?
It is. I pay $59 a year.
$59 a year. So how much is that a month?
That is less than $5 a month.
But I think the basic entry cost.
It's either $4.75 or $5.99. I can't remember a month. Yeah. If you cheap. Go month to month, but I pay by the year because
it was
it's
under
like
$10 a month.
And, oh yeah, easily.
And that and Shudder, dollar for dollar, pound for pound, that fucker's fucking. It's really punching above its weight. That's a good service.
Yeah, it's like they don't have like shit tons of movies, but the movies that they have are like generally curated.
Right.
And they usually get, they have like a lot of good classics. And also they have like people that are really into horror that kind of, they try to get their mitts on like a lot of festival stuff that like, you know, did really well at festivals.
Tubi's got everything including shit. But
yeah, Tubi's good for quantity.
Quantity, not quality.
But you have to dig through a lot of crap like to find good. There is a lot of good shit on there, but you have to like go through a lot of crap to find
Shudder's
it.
Only going to show you shit that's got quality to it.
Yeah.
And classic old stuff like Zombie and stuff like that, you know. Like old Italian ones, and they got everything on there that's worth watching. It's good. Or everything they have is worth watching. That's a good
pretty much because it's like whenever they put something new up, I'll watch it. I don't even care what it is.
Don't care. Just watch. It tends to be good.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, they added two new movies this week. Let's just watch those.
Whether it's new or old.
Yeah.
The curation's real good.
Yeah, so I've seen like most, probably like 90% of the movies out there. I've watched them.
Yeah, if you don't have Shudder, get that one. And they're not a sponsor. Bitches need to be sponsored. They're not a sponsor. And we got in that when they were still kind of new.
Yeah.
But I think they're kind of rising to the top. They're starting to make a name for themselves.
Yeah. And I definitely see, like, a lot of advertising for them and stuff. And like I said, they really do seem to get their hands on.
I'd like to get a Shudder shirt.
I got one, but that's because they gave me the offer, like, because I was paying month to month. And they said, hey, if you pay $59 right now for a whole year, we'll send you a free shirt. And I was like, yes, please.
Did it look cool? I don't remember seeing it.
Remember, it's like, it has, like, a little VCR on it. Uh-huh. And it has like all these little VCR titles with some of it has like Mandy on there and all the like a lot of their Shudder
originals.
You
don't wear it that much, I don't think.
Yeah, I do, but it's like usually I wear it walking out on the path and stuff like that. But yeah, so it's like I've worn it a lot. So
I wanted just a black one with their logo, Shudder.
You could probably get one like that.
Yeah, something that's plain, you know, but high impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, the one I have has like a little VCR and stuff on it, so it's kind of like a little. It's a whole design. All it's cool. But yeah, I got it for free when I upped my subscription to like paying yearly. All right, so we will be back tomorrow with another movie. I think I already have a plan of which one I'm going to watch. It's another one that's on Shudder. It's a couple of years old, but we're going to talk about it tomorrow. We're going to watch it tonight and we'll talk about it tomorrow. So we will talk to you guys again tomorrow. Thanks everybody for stopping by. Thanks Logan for the contribution. We will print your shirts today because I think I have blanks in that size, and we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.